Hey, everybody. It's so good to be with you today. I hope you're having a great day. If not, we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who live called according to his purpose, right? I love these times. I think you probably noticed that we try to make them something that really speaks to kind of what's going on in our heart in the various seasons of the pastoral year. And so this month, we're going to have three webinars because of how the month lies and because we do them every 2 weeks. We'll have one today, we'll have one on the 16th, and then another one on May 30th. And today, we're going to talk about the exceptional leader. And you say, why are we talking about the exceptional leader? Well, it's because about this time of year, especially when I was a young pastor, people started moving towards their lives. I mean, Easter was done. We still have Mother's Day ahead of us. But one thing I've noticed about exceptional leaders is that the momentum is there even in the non-high seasons. So if you're a youth pastor, I can tell a lot about your leadership by looking at whether kids are still coming in June. Parents make them come in August, right? They make them come in January. But in the summertime, do the kids want to be there? And the same's true. I could go to every single ministry. And so we're going to talk about things that help you become that exceptional leader that we all long to be today. I've got a dear, dear friend. I've known him for over 20 years. First came to Faith Family Church as an intern. And then he went and worked in another church, did a great job in Sallisaw, Oklahoma for about 9 years. We were blessed to hire him and bring him back. He's been a great children's pastor, led our family ministries. So he's led a lot of parents and a lot of teams, and he's got some great insight for you today. Pastor Tony, great to have you with us, man.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Like I told you, Pastor, this is pretty exciting for me, man, to be able to just be with you guys. And the coolest thing is to just grow off each other. None of us have all the right answers. We're just trying to get better together, you know?
Yeah. Well, you've got a lot of good wisdom to share. One of the things that we've noticed at Faith Family is, man, it's a day of select sports, not right? I mean, we didn't have that really when you first were interning. You got broken homes. You've got select sports. You've got families never been pulled more. And so we actually started something called Leadership Academy because we realized how important it is if we want to be not just attractional, but a great discipleship church. That's going to happen through how we disciple our leaders. And you gave this talk at our Leadership Academy. And when I heard it, I said to Christy, I want to get that on the webinar because it's going to help lots of people. So I'm looking forward to this today. And then for those who are with us down the road, we've got a great pastor who's going to be talking to us about dealing with difficult emotion. Man, you tend to do that over the summer as a pastor. And then we have another guy who actually has a counseling center, has about 80 counselors under him. And 20% of their clients are pastors. And he's going to come on and talk to us about emotional health this month, too. And he's also going to be taking questions from us. This is going to be a great month on our Significant Leader webinar. Let me welcome our new members real quick, Pastor Tony, and then we'll let you tell us what we're going to jump into. I want to welcome Pastor David Alvarez from Eaton, Colorado, Pastor Mark Bryant from Forest, Arkansas, Pastor Mike Farrell from Columbia, South Carolina, Pastor Winston Harris from San Antonio, Texas, Pastor Drew Isaacs from Kanoa, Oklahoma, Pastor Christopher Keefe from Hazlett, Texas, Pastor Casey Klosick from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Pastor Emmanuel Mantley from Rosemount, Minnesota, Pastor Adeline Morales from Miami, Florida, Pastor Uma Miller from Sebring, Florida, Pastor Naomi Mitchell from Jackson, Kentucky, Pastor Nathan Pearson from Clarksville, Tennessee, Pastor Simon Masawoya from Mzuzu, Malawi. Could you say that one, Pastor Tony? I think I got it right. Pastor Roshan Narana from Ja'ala, Sri Lanka. And I don't know if I got that one right. I'll be honest with you, but we're so glad. Then I want to do a partner shout out. You know, Significant Church is a network of pastors, by pastors, for pastors. None of us are compensated. We do this because we love pastors. And we bring you biweekly webinars. We have a warehouse with free materials you can use. There are exchanges developing where pastors are saying, you know what? Ministry is what it is, but you know what? We don't have to do it alone. We don't have to do it isolated. We can make each other's lives richer. So we have those going on, and you can go to the page and see all the ways we minister. But I'll tell you one guy I've fallen in love with is Pastor Vinny Green from Roadside Chapel Church in Rutland, Vermont. This dude is a visionary, and he's doing it in a tough part of the country. And of course, he couldn't do it without his wife, Tiana. She's awesome. So Vinny, we just want to shout out to you, man. We can't do this. We can't do it alone, man. We appreciate you being in the game with us. So, well, Pastor Tony, talk to me. How are we going to become richer through today's talk?
Well, you know, here's the deal. We're talking about exceptional leaders. It's definitely something that you don't reach it and then it's done. It's something you're always working on. You know, there's a joke I heard, a leadership joke about a veteran who recently retired, and he, you know, gets a civilian job and doing his job great. Everything's going wonderful, except the man just would not show up to work on time. Finally, his boss pulls him over and says, "Hey, weren't you in the military? Like, what would your leaders say if they found that you were always showing up late?" And he just kind of thought for a second, took a big breath, and he said, "Well, they'd probably say, 'Good morning, Sergeant Major. Your coffee's on your desk.'" And you know, a lot of times we think about, the world tells us leadership is this positional thing where people serve you. But man, all throughout scripture, it's all about Jesus setting this example of servant leadership. And in that, all throughout the New Testament, you see him setting that example. There was a statement, Pastor, that I said at Leadership Academy that, I mean, was so impactful to me as the communicator, that I think really resonates with us as leaders. It says, "When I talk to managers, I get the feeling that they are very important. But when I talk to leaders, I get the feeling that I am very important." And I think
That's awesome. That is awesome right there. Yeah. So are you managing the tasks, or are you releasing leadership all around you? Not just the what, but the who, right?
Yeah, for sure. So I think that's the important factor that we have to consider. How are we making people feel? To be an exceptional leader, you got to really consider, is it about me or is it about them? Because we can do a whole lot more with them than just what I can do, you know? So, you know, one of our culture statements at Leadership Academy that we talked about a lot is the idea of real relationships and real responsibility and how those two things play together. And that's what really creates a strong team. And so, you know, we talked about three C's that were super helpful to identify, okay, what does an exceptional leader really do? What does it really look like? And the first C that we said is how important communication is. So communication with your team is the number one point that we want to make sure. To be an exceptional leader, you got to have some good communication.
Yeah. So let's share some of the ways that we communicate just on a weekly basis, because even with your wife and kids, I mean, communication is hard work, right? In today's world, everybody's extended on so many fronts, and part of communicating well is limiting those fronts, right? And doing the thing that's important, not just the thing that's urgent or in front of you, which ministry has so much that's urgent in front of us. But talk to me, and I may add to it, but talk to me about some of the ways we communicate with our leaders.
So obviously for us as a church, there's weekly communication that happens within our team huddles. So every service, we're huddling with our teams, connecting with them. That's where we share encouragement. We care. Hey, what's going on in your world? And we pray. So that's that weekly connect. And then there's the monthly connect where we're meeting with our leaders and our captains. But really, in the communication of it all, it's important that we understand how a communication makes someone feel. There's a security and a confidence that comes in when we bring clear communication.
I'm going to take that back a set just a bit, because you didn't mention one thing we do, and that is we put out a leader email every week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if you're a leader within our church, you're going to get an email every single week that has a devotional element to it, a few hundred words that just is inspirational and edifying to you as a leader. We're going to remind people, like we had 46 adults and similar numbers of kids and teens who were saved last week. So that's going to pump you up. So we have things that just remind them God's working here, you know, And then we encourage them, like you said, to take that email. And then before service, that's team building for us. Of course, a lot of people don't come before service. They come halfway through the worship, right? So the team building, we always want to share, and the email equips them to do that. We want to care for the people in our group, and we want to pray. And we never want a group to be bigger than about seven people. So we want our captains huddling with 5 to 7 leaders. We want leaders huddling with their people. And through that, real discipleship happens because people start noticing the habits of each other. So if you're listening, what we do at Faith Family, they're, you know, we're just one church. But what we do is before service is for leadership and team bonding. After service, we have pastors in all the lobbies so that people know, hey, this church really cares for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And in that team bonding, not only are we communicating heart and the importance of the role they play, but we're communicating specificity. Is that the word, Pastor? Specificity?
Specificity, yeah.
Like specific responsibility.
You might be asking the wrong person, but yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that's good.
Scripture supports it too. You know, scripture talks about, hey, write it clearly, make it plain. Clear communication, it makes our people feel important when you bring clarity. You see that in your marriage just as much as you see in your ministry too. You know, clear communication is key.
Yeah, one of the things you talked about, and I've watched you grow at this over the years, is you have a real servant's heart. So, you know, I'm not saying something that the staff hasn't heard me say about you, but I've always enjoyed coaching you because you keep your heart right really, really well. And you have a servant's heart. You love to serve people, but you've really grown in your ability to recognize you can't do it all. And and even still, I think you probably still call it a growth area of your life. Yeah. So what you're learning is that clarity of communication is a key to, if we see our people just kind of moving away and we're trying to build a more unified family that likes to be there. Of course, our services being good helps that. But the other thing that helps that is just regular family time. It's almost, some of the stuff we do is almost like having a family meal, right? I used to look forward to a family meal when I was a kid. And it's because we laugh so much, we cut up so much. And then every once in a while, my dad would throw a zinger out at us. You know, he made us better. He made us more unified. And huddles kind of serve that same purpose. So you gave a great illustration, Steph, about, I'm probably going to have you tell him yourself, but your wife calling you and you've got a list. Remind me of that story.
So I was talking about communication, how important it is. And as a married couple, you really know how important it is. And so I asked all the class, I said, hey man, raise your hand if you're a husband, if you ever had to go to the grocery store before and how stressful that can be. You know, my wife learned that she had to have her phone at her side at all times. If I was going to be at the grocery store, I was going ready to go. And then she got really smart in bringing clear communication. I mean, she would text me a picture of the item, the aisle it's on, you know. And so that clear communication made it a lot, it made it go a lot better. But it just, once again, is an example, you know, at church, we're always thinking about it. You know what I mean? And we're always thinking about how things are going to work and what to do. But we have all our teams are coming. They're living their own lives and they're coming in. My wife's very familiar with the grocery store, but I'm not, you know, and so I need some guidance. I need some clarity. And it's the same thing in our church. We're very familiar with how leadership should work, structure should work, how we want our services to flow. But, you know, our people are coming. They're working full-time jobs. They've got their own families, their own situations. And we had to bring clear communication to help them to have a win.
Yeah, thank God for curbside. I mean, amen. Now the camera can order and all I got to do is run curbside and bring it home with me. But yeah. I really like what you said a minute ago, and that is write the vision plainly so that people can run with it. That's what God said to Habakkuk. So you really can't be nice enough if you're unclear, right? You can't be a nice enough person.
Right.
People are going to get you know, they're going to lose resonance with you just based on the details. And the fact things aren't working out the way that they want to. And you said something else I want to kind of highlight because you just said it, but really there's two sides of communication. One is the relationship. The other is the responsibility. So people that are all responsibility driven, you know, hey, if that happens in a marriage, the guy said, I didn't get married to be, you know, somebody's slave, you know. She didn't get married to go clean a house all day, you know. But when you manage relationship and responsibility, communication is always going to be strengthened in that environment. What are some keys that, Tony, you use to make sure you do that well?
Well, you know, the thing is it's always a balancing act, right? It's always, if you're too relational, then you're never able to, you don't go anywhere. You know, everyone's happy, but you're just sitting there. You're not reaching any kind of potential, any kind of growth. And responsibility for me, naturally, I'm the relational guy. So something Pastor Jim and our support staff here has really helped me with is, okay, it can't just be all feels. You've got to be intentional in bringing about some clear instruction, because people want to be led well. They want to be led well and do their part in the overall team win. But I've got to bring clarity. Here's what's expected. And then after there's the expectation made clear, then I can inspect. Pastor, you always say, hey, inspect what you expect. But you've got to make clear the expectation first. And then from there, make sure that you're inspecting it as well.
Yeah. And I think, like, I was dealing with a department today, which is our communications department, you know. And when you get a new employee, you got to inspect more. And that's only fair to them. You know, what happens in the church world is you get somebody to the point you don't have to look over them as much. And then sometimes God, you know, they may go do something else or, you know, but if you have a younger employee, it's going to take more time to communicate with them, to oversee and to make sure they see what's going on. This is really cool. People are listening from all over the world. I appreciate you guys letting us know in the chat room that you're here. At the end of this, your questions, if we have time, we'll answer any question that you have. So feel free to add a question to the chat room or to the timeline if you want to. But man, I see so many friends on here and then people I'm looking forward to meeting in the future on here. Okay, Tony, so we make sure communication's good. And the truth is, for a lot of people, there's tension, you know. And I want to encourage people that just because there's tension doesn't mean you made a mistake. You know, I see people, pastors sometimes take too much responsibility on themselves, but we don't live in a relationally healthy society. So more often than not, the tension is the fact that the person around you is growing. So you just stay gracious with them. You keep setting a good example and you just keep that paradigm of relationships and responsibilities. You keep that in your brain and you just keep maturing people, making things better. And then you said there's a second part, and that is you don't just have good communication, but what was the second part of real exemplary leadership?
Yeah. So exemplary leaders have clear communication that makes your people feel important. Secondly, they have a genuine connection. This is where you really building relationships do matter. So clear communication brings good responsibility. Connection brings relationship. And this is, it's everybody's too busy. You know, there's never a good
time. So you're telling me I need to grill out steaks for the staff and I need to do
it. Pastor, I've been waiting.
You're telling me. Okay.
So next seminar, our next webinar, we'll let you guys know if Pastor grilled out steaks, right? But, you know, one of the biggest thing is that the enemy, I found, man, that one of the biggest lies of the enemy is that he tells people that you're alone. You're alone in whatever the circumstance or situation you're going through, that you're by yourself. And part of our job as exceptional leaders is to make sure people feel that they're not alone, that there's a God who loves them, and there's the church body, their team, their community that's there for them as well. That's important, you know, because that bonding really creates a connection that people need, because then life happens. And when life happens and storms come, which we know scripturally says it's going to happen, when that happens, man, who people have around them is going to make a big difference on how they handle those storms.
Yeah, I read one time, Tony, that Jesus spent like two-thirds as much time with his 12 as he did doing any kind of public ministry. So there's three things. First of all, we have our time with God that enables us to minister publicly and to be attractional, you know. But then, you know, it's really hard work. Like we had, what, I think 50-some people baptized this month.
Yeah.
And it's electric in the crowd when you see all these people getting baptized. But when they come up by the water, it's not just going to happen. If somebody doesn't connect with them, that's why we launched Leadership Academy, because we recognize that in the United States today, for God to heal the heart of our communities, it's going to take people who are intentional in discipleship. And the Bible talks about our children. It says that we nurture them like plants. You know, we nurture them like olive plants. Well, if you nurture a plant, you can't like walk by it every few weeks and see if it's okay, right? You got to give it water. You got to pay attention to it. And people are the same way. So the leaders that really connect, the youth pastors that really connect, when we talk about, you can tell this time of year in your numbers, they're not just being attractional, but the kids know they really care, and the kids love being around a youth pastor. That's why they're coming all summer, right? And that's really true for all of our ministries. You might have a little bit less number, but you can feel whether this is in the air or not.
Yeah, scripture in Acts chapter 2, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. And the idea is that what they're saying there is community was being built. I'll give you, Pastor, if I can, I'll tell you two stories. I'll tell one, a bad story about myself, and a good story about our team. Same exact team, same year. And this shows how intentional we have to be. But I had a volunteer who was on our kids ministry team, and they didn't show up the last couple of weeks. And so leader reached out to see how things going. They said they didn't think it was the right fit, and they're going to serve somebody else somewhere else. When we asked them about, you know, what maybe brought them to that decision, why they didn't feel it fit, they said something that was heart-wrenching to me. They said that, hey, the last time I served, I came in. Granted, they came in late, so they weren't at the team huddle, but regardless, they came in to serve, and they said not a single adult said a word to me the entire service. And she said, I just didn't feel connected. And obviously that's heart-wrenching. So I'm having a meeting with my leader saying, guys, this can't happen. People need to feel like who they are is more important than what they do. And when they walk in the room, they need to know that they're seen, you know. On the other side, there was an older lady on that same team later on that year who came and just pulled me aside and said, Pastor, I just want you to know how special this team is. This team is like family to me. I don't have any family here. All our family's in California. This team's like family to me. I love my team. And, you know, there was connection built there. Everything from, she's an older lady, so we had a nurse who was on our team who went to her house and did the nurse evaluation of where some danger spots are and just things like that had made her feel connected. And that's the goal, but it has to be intentional or else we're going to have people feeling like that other lady who said, I just don't feel connected.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, as leaders, we get too much credit and too much blame both, right? A lot of times we're working with our leaders, and then the quality of our leaders determines whether we're getting pats on the back or unhappy looks, you know? So we all have a little bit of both going on. The thing, I want to just practically speak to it a minute, because we talked about on the clarity of vision side that we have a weekly email that goes out. And pastors, I don't write it, just so you know. Somebody else writes it, but it's based off my message the week before, the devotional part. Mm-hmm. And then we prepare things that just remind them God's moving. And if anybody wants that, just let us know. We'll make sure you get a template or a copy of what we use. And then we huddle with teams before, and we are there for the people afterwards. But when it comes to connect, I want to give them some practical things we do, Tony, as well. And that is, four times a year, we have Heart for the Houses. So that means that all the leaders look in the room. And when you get all the leaders, I started with a church of 200, and there were probably about 20, 25 leaders. And honestly, when you look around the room, you realize this isn't going to happen if we all don't do our part. So it's powerful. I used to do it monthly back then. And, the church being bigger, we still meet monthly, but we don't pull everybody together like that monthly. We do it quarterly now in the church. But you look around and you think, man, it's cool to be a part of something like this. And then you guys meet with your captains every month. Mm-hmm. So if we have a heart for the house, you do it before the heart for the house starts. But if not, you do it just with your five captains in your office, real intimate, you're connecting with them. And then the captains do it with their leaders in the course of a month. Mm-hmm. And then the leaders are really where discipleship happens. They're the ones reaching out to new people and making things happen. But connection is so important. And it's something where, you know, we're working on really hard right now. I heard a story the other day that just so motivated me. There's a couple who decided they were really going to care and connect. It was in another church. It wasn't in mine. But they decided they were going to home visit every person that the church had given them responsibility to connect with. And so they went in, and there was a couple that was maybe just a little younger than I am. And as they were talking to them, they looked and they saw a picture of a young man in uniform. And they said, "Who's that? Is that a relative?" And they found out it was a son who lost his life in the war in the Middle East. And oh my goodness, the tears and the prayer. But there was a bond through that connection that occurred that totally changed the love for the church, the love for God, it was a game changer for that family. And that's why Jesus sat by the well, right? In John 4 with the Samaritan woman, he sat by that well because he knew that before anybody was going to download and really help her, they had to connect with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And one thing I do want to point out, Pastor, is like the things you're bringing clarity to right now are what you and as our lead has helped us is saying we don't want to just be caring people, but we want to create systematic things that allow care to happen, you know, flywheels, if you would, that keep care happening consistently, not just when we think about it. That's something I had to learn is I'm like, okay, I'm thinking about someone, so I'm going to shoot them a text, which is good, but that's not systemic. And so what you're talking about with our quarterly Heart for the House meetings, you're setting it, hey, here's the system that we're going to meet every quarter with our captains and our leaders, our monthly hero meetings with our captains. Hey, here's what we're going to do once a month. Having that meeting. It's systemic because that's going to be a flywheel that keeps on moving along. I'll give you a quick story one of my stronger teams, our section hosts, I meet with them every month and I get them coffee from the coffee shop and we meet right before Wednesday night service. We get coffee I ask them their special order and we just get together and we do talk about some nuts and bolts. I would say about 50-50. 50 of it is just talking, just shooting the breeze, talking about where they're at in their family, their kids, stuff like that. And then 50%, we're talking about some leadership stuff, where care is within our team and how we can lead better, how to problem solve. But then, and one cool example was this past Sunday, one of my set of my captains, they took all of their leaders after the service they served in. They all went out to eat. And it was the same thing. They mimicked the same thing. They spent about 30 or 50% of it just fellowshipping, connecting, seeing how they're doing. And then they talked about how we can be better leaders, you know? And that's what you want. That's systemic.
Yeah, that's outstanding. And Tamara and I got invited to some kind of a section host hangout. You know, we can't do it, but these people used to be our neighbors. Because what's hard is we're always trying to, and yeah, you can overdo that too. I mean, sometimes just go because you want to go, right? But it doesn't work this time for us anyway. But what you said, we can't have enough meetings like that to touch everybody. So there has to be a systemic side. But I love how, you know, it should always start with the person. It should always start with the relationship, not with the responsibilities.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was really, really good. Even in today's world, you know, you have to budget for what matters. So we even made coffee coupons available, but If you don't have, you know, if you don't have a coffee shop that way, most of us give out free coffee. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So we give out free coffee coupons so our leaders can just say to somebody, hey, can I meet you before church and get to know you and connect with you some. So
but I
again,
would also,
we're trying to go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I would also say connection doesn't always have to, it doesn't always have to be a meeting either. I mean, texts and social media comments and, you know, group chats, all those things are just simple things that just make people feel, hey, I'm not alone. I've got someone with me. So not only do you, when you have the opportunity to do that, you know, that you reach out, but that you teach your leaders to do the same thing. Hey, make it a goal that, hey, every week you're going to reach out, you're going to touch somebody on your team. Maybe you might not touch all 10 of them, but you can touch one person and just say, hey man, I'm praying for you specifically. You know, those are the kind of things that will make a big difference in someone's life.
Well, if it's not systemic, like if you don't have an intentional plan to do the three things you're talking about, which are communicate first, connect second, we'll get to the third in a minute. But if it's not systemic, I can tell you in my 20s, I talked to a pastor who heard Dr. Cho speak, and he had a big church, and he decided he's going to start small groups, and he got 500 people to start him in the church the size he had. And then about a year later, he didn't do anything except tell him what to do, didn't connect with him, didn't mention hardly from the pulpit. You know how many he had left at the end of the year? Six groups were left. So if you think there's not a systemic side, there is. People without vision, people get unrestrained and things don't just keep going. So let's talk about the third side. We think through our communication and we shared our structure, some of it. If it fits you, great. If you when you get with your teams, you'll probably make it even a bit better, at least for the structure that you're in. But you have great communication. You make sure you have time to connect. And then what's the third one?
And then third is care. So clear communication makes your people feel important. Genuine connection, make your people feel important. That's what an exceptional leader does. And then just that we bring care to people, genuine care. It's where the rubber meets the road, honestly. And like I said, when people go through storms, who's in their circle, Pastor, you remember when you did crowd circles and causes was a series you did a couple years ago. So good, because it gives us the ability to tell people who is in your circle. And you'd be amazed at how people identify, like, man, there's not really a lot of people, if anybody, that I have that kind of closeness to. But bringing care is just a powerful tool. You know, I use the example of Nikki Cruz from the book or the movie, if you guys have seen it, from back in the days, The Crossing the Switchblade. He's a good friend of pastors. He's come to our church multiple times. But that whole story is a beautiful story of care, because David Wilkerson, who was a pastor who went there to New York, he completely disarmed Nikki Cruz by showing him something that he had never seen before, by showing him a relentless love and care that he had never felt before. Care is so powerful in somebody's life. And it's important that we set things in place in our churches that make sure that care is happening in a systemic way.
Well, I think it's even the lost element for pastors, which is why with Significant Church, we're working hard with our local connectors, because it's one thing to just have a manual. It's another thing to have somebody who cares for you. So I can know my material, but unless I know you, I can't really help you apply it so well, you know? And the same thing's true in church. You get new believers, they need help. You know, they need somebody to just help them. You know, I helped somebody today who was, just a lot was going on in the person's life. And as you just took scripture and then you talked about how that scripture applied to your life, you could just feel the hope rush into their heart. And God's with me. I got this, you know? And so that's what God talked to Moses about in Exodus whenever he was trying to care for everybody, but it wasn't systemic. And, you know, there's a couple parts of that scripture that really touched me. One is God said that you're going to wear yourself out. And the Hebrew is you're going to morally wear out. I mean, it implies, and I can tell you the pastors I've known in 40 years of ministry who had a moral failure, and I've known more than I wish I did. Most of the time, they're really good men who just got worn out and they looked in the wrong place for refreshing. They looked in. That's why you got to guard yourself. You have to guard the little things. Don't the tone of voice you talk to women with. You know, we give a rule, you don't go out to lunch, man and woman, you know, that kind of thing. But with Moses, you can't wear yourself out. And but then God says, not only will you wear yourself out, he said the people won't get help anyway. So if we don't care well for the people in our world, then we're not setting a good model. But if we don't help everybody see this is something we all have to do together, then God says that's not a good model either. All you're going to have are worn out leaders and people who don't really get help anyway.
Mm-hmm. There's scripture, all kinds of scripture, but Galatians 6 is one I love. It says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. Like, care really helps people experience the heart of God in the truest form. And like you said, if the church loses that, it's not going to build the kingdom. You know, so we have to make sure that we create space and give our church family, our church leaders, the training and the resources to bring about proper care.
Yeah, so let's talk about how we do that. How do we practically, you know, I'm sitting out here and I say, okay, I buy into the practicality of the webinar. And I just want to say, first of all, I just want to say thank you for all these kind comments from those that are that have made kind comments about how practical and helpful it is. But Tony, if we're to give them a good care template and you say, okay, I can feel this in my church. I can feel that people like the service, but I need to connect them more so they feel like coming not just for the service, but for each other. What are some practical steps you give them?
Well, one thing on the pastoral side that we do here that we're working on is just clear pastoral districts, right? I love Pastor Jim said this. He said, man, when I first started here, I had about so many families. So let's just break each of our pastoral staff. You each get so many.
Yeah, don't make it too complicated, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And just, you know, make it a goal that once or twice a year you reach out and say, hey, I want you to know I'm your connection. I'm your care pastor. If there's anything I can do, I want this to be an open window for you to, if you need care, that we're here for you. So that's for the big net of the church at large. But then a lot of care that happens within our teams. Like we talked about in those team huddles that we do on a weekly basis, care happens within our teams. It's beautiful because you'll see meal trains going on that you didn't even know were happening before, you know? So pastoral districts is one way we do care. Our team huddles is one more, much more intimate way that we bring about care within our teams, you know?
Yeah, that's good. Let's talk about this because we have seven things we do as senior leaders, right? Talk to them about the seven things that we're engaged in on a regular basis.
So you've got your pastoral care districts for sure. What we call first strike counseling, which is not, we don't get into the habit of pastors counseling over and over again people. We want to meet with them and we want to talk to them about biblical perspective and help connect them and tie them into the church. We also have, obviously, there's one of the things is marriages, our weddings and funerals, which those happen naturally throughout our church. And then the overall assimilation process of how people are going from being a crowd in the church to where they're really growing connected in the church. So what does that look like as a church as a whole? And then what does that look like within our team specifically? Right. So that's, what was that? 4 or 5? I'm missing two.
You guys make district calls. I had a little book of 100 families and it wasn't quite 100 in a gold book. Mm-hmm. And my first year as pastor, I just called them all, just said, hey, you're the reason I'm here, you know? And there were some of those 100 that weren't coming to church and they started coming back to church simply because I made what we call a district call, right? Mm-hmm. And you guys have found that texting is more appreciated many times than calling. You guys have asked people what their preference is. Would you rather have a call? Would you rather have a text? Or for some, would you rather have a home visit, you know, within our, you know, families in the church? So you guys make district calls. When people are in crisis, you let them know we're not counselors, but sometimes we can recommend a book that's going to help be helpful in the crisis. We can help them find counseling and you know, just be a good pastor to them. You guys do weddings and funerals. You take time each month to oversee the care notes that the leaders have so that you stay aware of what's going on in the lives of families. You do the same with assimilation. When people come through Next Steps, you see that people are actually getting assimilated and becoming part of the process. And we also have
what we call them bridge contacts, right? Or bridge calls, where we're caring for people through our captains or through our leaders or through affinity that we know they have. So as pastors, we may not be able to touch everybody, but if I can connect someone, a mature leader that I know, and I can connect them to this person that can help walk them through that process, that for sure is a vital opportunity as well.
Yeah, well, Peter talked about the people who are under our care. So I don't feel like people are in my care. I feel like I'm a hospital administrator, that mm-hmm. some people, but it's my responsibility to make sure everything in the hospital, that people are getting the care that they need. And I think that's a good model for a pastor that, and then in John 21, Jesus said, I want you to feed my lambs and I want you to feed my sheep. But then he said, take care of my sheep. He didn't say, take care of the lambs. And there's a reason for that. In the animal kingdom, the shepherd takes care of the lead sheep. And then those sheep help care for the other sheep. Sounds and good. It's impossible for the shepherd to be what every little sheep needs. And it's impossible for the pastor to be that. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't find, I find so much joy. You know, I heard somebody else say this, but on Sundays, he said, it's the people's day. He said, so I make sure I'm 100% prepared. I discipline myself all week. So I study and everything's ready for service. But man, when I show up, it's the people's day, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, I find a lot of joy in care. And I think for pastors that don't find a lot of joy in care, a lot of times it's because it's not their heart, it's the system's broken. And I hope today's webinar helped with that. I got a few questions, Tony, we're going to finish with, but is there anything you want to close with before we take these questions?
No, I just think to wrap up, you know, when we're talking about being an exceptional leader, no one just has it. So we're just all growing in the process. So an exceptional leader is all about just making sure your team feels important by bringing real relationship, real responsibility. That's kind of the summary of what we talked about in that Leadership Academy class. So hopefully that's helpful to you guys.
Yeah, that's really good. Okay, here's our three questions. I'm trying to identify leaders within my church, and I wonder, what would you say are the top two or three qualities that make someone a good leadership candidate?
You know, Pastor, we recently talked about a department head. You said, here's the things I'm looking for in leadership. What was it? You said, are they the two C's? Are they bringing... are they developing?
Are they captivating?
Captivating.
The people want to follow them. Then number two, are they community builders? Community. Yeah. Do people get attracted to them? Do people tend to, are they sticky?
Yeah.
That's good.
I think those two things really stick out to me.
Remembered. Yeah, that's good. And I'd just say this, that Jesus his first year of ministry, he went to little town after little town. Most of the towns were 30 to 50 people. And Jesus healed. People looked and said, my goodness, the wisdom, the healing he brought. So he was highly attractional. You know, people were definitely drawn to him. And then he started calling disciples after he did that. But he didn't really designate apostles till almost the end of his second year of ministry. So Jesus called people to be followers first, and then he called them to be leaders second. And one scholar I read said Jesus really didn't ordain them as leaders until after his resurrection, in a way, which I don't know if I agree with that or not. I do know the Bible says, let them be tested and then put them in leadership. So if you just do things and give people function without title, I think that's a good thing to do. Give them function without title. And then just watch, you know, is their leadership the kind that, man, people are attracted to what they do? And then are they sticky? Do they build community? Are people attracted to who they are?
Yeah.
Here's a second one. How much time do you spend on personal development to stay sharp as a leader? And what are some of the things you do during this time?
So for me, I mean, there's multiple things, but continuing education is important to pastor and to here in our staff culture. So I've been on the care aspect of things. I've been working specifically on, okay, what's going to help us be systemic? So like we've been talking, Pastor, I'll give you an example. One of the things we've been talking about is premarital counseling. You know, what are we going to do? You know, how are we going to do it? We get so many people wanting to get married, providing premarital counseling. How do we do something that's systemic? So Pastor always talks about look for people who are doing it better than you and look for things that you can set into motion that's going to be systemic. So, you know, I started doing continuing education on premarital counseling. We started doing training on the Symbis stuff that we're working on. You know, that's one of many resources that we work with Les and Leslie Parrott that we utilize. But I think if you're not constantly growing, then eventually you just start it. You have to continue to work on it, or else you just start slowly losing track. You know, you start slowly setting back. You know what I mean? So you constantly have
to. Just natural. Like if LeBron just James, natural. Why these webinars are so good? You know, that's why our staff meetings are good. Iron sharpens iron.
Absolutely.
And if you work, you're going to get less and less sharp unless you have intentional time to sharpen it. I'd encourage somebody at least give yourself an hour a week where you do nothing but unplug and continue to sharpen yourself. But more than that, it's just getting sharper a way of life. And, you know, I'm a big believer in the three celebrations, three challenges model, because if you get some good people in a room and you say, hey, what do we have to celebrate? You realize you're doing better than you think. But then you say, hey, what are our challenges? And when everybody starts chiming in, you realize God's put a lot of grace in a lot of people's souls, and it just kind of bonds you, and it makes everybody sharper when you do that. Instead of feeling like you've got to go find every answer, use community and have everybody spend an hour a week reading different books and everybody bringing different things in.
Yeah.
Here's the last one.
You can have your team grow with you. You know what I mean? Like, us as a staff, we've done book studies before, or even with your captains or your leaders, your lay leaders, to just say, hey, we're going to take a chapter out of Maxwell's thing once a month or once a week, and we're just going to grow together. Because you're building a culture where it's, I'm going to be a life learner, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so let's close with this one. Book recommendations on leadership, the kind of leader we're talking about.
I have one. This is kind of weird. I'm recommending this book before I've even read it. I was just talking to you, Pastor, about a book our operations pastor, Pastor Matt, just recommended to me in one of our coaching meetings. It's called Who, Not How. And it's all about the paradigm shift of not asking how am I going to do this, but who can do this for me that they can feel fulfilled in that. And so to be an exceptional leader, it can't just be you. And that's one of the growth things for me is, you know, many people, you got lots of gifts. There's lots of pastors on here today. You're in the role because you're gifted and you can do a lot of things really well. But if it's just all on you, that's not sustainable and you can't do that. Pastor Jim, you always talk about John Wesley and the example he said of it wasn't about his performance and all that accolades he did. It was about how much he can disciple and invest in people. So with that said, one book that I'm excited to read next week, I'm going to be reading it, is the Who Not How book. I'm sure you probably have lots more books to recommend.
Yeah. And I know probably most people have heard, I'm going to mention two books and I don't think they'll put them up because I'm just now getting to them. I just saw the question, but one is just The Five Levels of Leadership by Maxwell. It's just that's a classic. You know, it talks about how to go beyond the position to where people give you permission and then, you know, then your productivity, and it's just so good, that book. And then the other one, if you're looking for something that will help you with structure, there's a pastor out of Louisiana who wrote a book called The Care Revolution. So I'll say it again, The Care Revolution. And if that's a really good book that'll help you think through some of the structure in the life of your church, if you're looking for something on that front. So, well, Tony, thank you, my friend, for spending this time. We like to say that this is like our lunchtime, right? We'll bring people that you love having lunch with. And I feel like you did a great job of that today. So thank you for hanging out with us and for
my honor,
for sharing sure. your heart. You've worked hard, man. I've watched you for 9 years in our church family. You've worked hard to build teams and your love for good reason. So thank you. I want to remind everybody, we'll be back in a couple of weeks. And we're going to talk about how to lead whenever you got some difficult emotion to deal with in your heart. And then later we're going to have a counselor who 20% of his practice, again, with 85 counselors, is geared towards pastors. And I met with him the other day. I was so thrilled he was willing to come on a webinar to help us out as we get our hearts ready for the summer. So Pastor T, would you pray us out real quick?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you first and foremost that, Lord, your love, your grace, your mercy is so sufficient for us. Thank you, Lord, that you have all of us in a process. Never let us forget, Lord, that we're constantly growing. Lord, we want to follow your footsteps. You were obviously the example of an exceptional leader, of servant leadership, of making people feel like they're important. So, Lord, I pray that we would follow in your footsteps every day, that we never lose sight of the big picture, or we just want to be like Jesus. So, Lord, I pray for every pastor, every leader that's listening today. Lord, I pray an anointing upon them to be all that God's called them to be, Lord, as we keep the main thing, and that's loving you, Lord, and loving people. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you guys for being with you. Always a joy. And thank you for all you do. Pray the Spirit of God's really strong in your services this weekend.
God bless you guys. See you.